All right, I will call the meeting to order. If you're here, please check in on the computer. Okay, we have 28 members present. That is a quorum. We'll start with the proclamation for County Aging Month.
Whereas County Aging Unit provides information assistance to all county senior residents, and whereas good nutrition is important to the community, it is ensured through two dining programs, and whereas home-delivered meals provide an opportunity for a low-cost first intervention to allow residents to remain living independently in their own homes, and whereas quality of life of aging residents is ensured through transportation programs, caregiver support and organized activities, as well as assistance in filing forms and applying for benefits, and whereas all staff of the La Crosse County Aging Department work together to provide a healthy and safe environment in the aging community, now therefore be it resolved, La Crosse County Board does hereby proclaim the month of August as Aging Month and urges all residents to join in recognizing the valuable contribution of persons dedicated to ensuring that the aging residents of La Crosse have the opportunity to live a healthy and productive life.
Moved by Margaret Wood, seconded by Roger Plesha. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no. Carried unanimously. Next on the agenda, under the Chair's report, a few days ago we lost a former colleague of ours, Mitzi Parr. Many of us remember Mitzi as a county board member, very dedicated county board member. Some of us even remember Mitzi as a county employee and also a very well-respected, very hard-working person in both respects. She died recently, as you know, and we wanted to recognize her with a moment of silence. So I would ask board members to please stand for a moment. Thank you. Mr. O'Malley.
With that in mind, I don't think Jerry or Mitzi would mind if I just shared with you a couple weeks ago before she passed away, we had a chance to visit her, and everybody will know that it was well in character. Mitzi wasn't feeling as well as she might have, but she sure had time to still give me a hard time on the county budget and what our priorities were. So I thought she would appreciate that story. She was still in good spirits even though she went through some tough couple weeks, so I just wanted to pass that on because it's fitting to remember, or at least for me, to remember trying to justify the budget to a woman who's having a tough time health-wise. I just wanted to share that story.
And if anyone's cell phone goes off during this meeting, it's probably her calling. Mr. Bina.
Thank you, Mr. Doyle. And if you go back far enough, she was a year behind me in school, and we played in a band together at Aquinas. She blew her trumpet, and I played the clarinet, so I go back a long ways with her, too.
Arlene.
After the funeral in the church, we, probably about 40 of us, went out to the Moose, and they had some things out there, and several different people got up and spoke. And so I got up and spoke on her cell phone, and everybody just laughed because I said it rang all the time. And months and months down the road, I found out that it was my cell phone that was calling her cell phone, and it was Roger Plesha. And everybody just roared. They said Roger would do that. I had it in my purse because I said, no, you can't use it. Well, I didn't know he was calling her. And then I'd bawl her out. You got to learn to turn that off. So she finally found out it was my phone number.
Unfortunately, that gets us to another topic, which is that the County Board's flower fund is depleted. And so we're going to pass the box around and ask people to make contributions. By the way, this is for withdrawals, for deposits, not withdrawals. So please add, don't subtract. And we don't make change, Mr. Ebert. No, whatever. The $5 you got there, that'd be a good amount. All right. Couple other things I want to talk about, the WCA Records Retention Seminar. If you're interested in attending this, you've got about 4 days to let my office know so we can get you signed up and get the registration taken care of. So far, I think only one or two people have signed up for this. I think we sent out a notice to everybody. If I remember correctly, Maureen Friedland is the only one right now. If anybody else is interested, maybe even talk about carpooling or whatever. So if you're interested, notify the chair's office as soon as possible. The big event coming up next week, the county board picnic. Arlene, how are we doing?
Fantastic. All Everything right. is taken care of. Everything but the ice in the coolers.
Cool. How do we have everybody sign up? Are we still looking for people to sign up?
If people still want to sign up, they still can.
Okay.
Just so we let the moose know like a week or, well, like a week ahead. So if someone's still interested this week, please contact me so I can put them on the list.
And or we have like talk to you, Jerry, me, or Linda
right.
immediately after this meeting.
Correct.
If you're interested. If you don't have your money tonight, at least we want to know that you are planning to be there. And
we'll get your money before you get your plate.
There you go.
Thank you.
All right. Jerry, anything to add on that? Okay, same menu as last year?
No, the menu was changed quite extensively, especially on the entree. We're going to have chicken legs and hand-rubbed ribs. There'll be pasta salad, potato salad. There'll be desserts, ice cream bars. Getting them to throw in a few cakes that the ladies do so well with, and the brownie-type things. And other than that, I guess I'm just going to need your help a little night before, as always, and Tom, if he's going to be around.
It's on my calendar.
Okay. All right. That's about, thank you.
All right. Thank you. Any questions on the picnic? Again, remember, people, next Thursday, County Board in the morning. Please mark that on your calendar if you show up at 6 o'clock that night. Nobody else is going to be here. D, document distribution on supervisor's desk. Linda?
I don't really have any answers. I just have a few suggestions. One of the possibilities, since the planning meeting is starting to be a little more, there's more action and more items addressed rather than just information, perhaps we want to consider having a packet for the planning meeting, just like we do for the board meeting. That's one option. It could be ready on Thursday, late Thursday afternoon, just like the other one's ready on Friday. That way you could pick those up and get what you need that way, because it's getting to the point where mailing everything is getting pretty expensive because it's just getting bigger and bigger. That's one that doesn't necessarily solve the problem of the paperwork on the desk, but it is something to consider, I think, with the growing of this meeting. The only another suggestion that I have, of course, is to send things to the supervisors via email. Unfortunately, not everybody has email, but the list is growing. I think 90 to 95% of you do have email. So when I get information that was not available at the deadline for the packet, I can always scan it and email it to everybody. Of course, then you have to remember to check your email. That's the only thing there. Another possibility is that our IT department was talking about putting a SharePoint site out on County View and somehow giving you all access to it from your home computers. Now, I don't know if that's been ironed out or not, but that way you still have to go to your computer and go to the SharePoint site to find it, although they did talk about making it pop up on the computer.
Right,
somehow.
It's called RSS, where it'll push it out to you. I talked to them about that, and they're looking into that.
So that's another option. The best option, of course, would be for all the departments to have all the paperwork available prior to the deadline. But some things come up at the last minute. Things change, especially when we were sitting on the governor's budget, and it was changing every day. So I don't know if it's possible to never have anything on your desk. But those are just some suggestions I had, and I don't know how you all want to deal with those.
We'll keep working through that, and if people have suggestions, let us know. But I don't know that there's going to be a perfect system. All right, that is end of the chair's report. That gets us to 2-8, which is the resolution regarding August settlement. Tara Johnson, can you read that?
A resolution to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding August settlement of real property taxes, special assessments, and special charges with municipal treasurers. Whereas pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 74.29, on or before August 20th, the county treasurer shall pay in full to the proper treasurer all real property taxes and special taxes included in the tax roll which have not previously been paid to or retained by the proper treasurer, and whereas part of the August settlement, it is within the discretion of the county board to decide whether to authorize the county treasurer to pay in full all special assessments, and whereas by resolution number 169/11-95 adopted on November 14, 1995, the La Crosse County Board directed the La Crosse County Treasurer to settle in full with the treasurers of the several towns, cities, and villages of the county for the special assessments and special charges pursuant to 74.29, and this authorization continues until changed by state statutes or amended by the La Crosse County Board. And whereas La Crosse County currently faces the potential of paying substantial sums in delinquent special assessments on August 20th, 2009 and each year thereafter for certain failed developments or distressed properties in La Crosse County where there is a high probability that the special assessments will not be paid to La Crosse County, resulting in a loss to La Crosse County taxpayers of the current if the current policy continues. And whereas it is in the best interest of La Crosse County to rescind the authorization to the county treasurers in said resolution to pay in full to the proper treasurers in the August settlement all unpaid special assessments and special charges, now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board hereby rescinds the previous authorization to the county treasurer in resolution 169/11-94 to settle in full with the proper treasurers for all special assessments and special charges included in the tax roll which have not previously been paid or retained by the proper treasurer, and directs the county treasurer not to pay such special assessments and special charges at the time of the August settlement. Be it further resolved that on or before the 20th of August, the county treasurer shall continue to pay in full to the proper treasurer all real property taxes and special taxes included in the tax roll. Further resolved that this resolution shall take effect on the day of its adoption by the La Crosse County Board. The fiscal note is the special assessments and special charges included on the 2008 tax roll for all taxing jurisdictions in La Crosse County, excluding the City of La Crosse, which have not been paid or retained, total the amount of $203,865.21. This total amount includes 2008 special assessments of $107,236.19 for a residential development in the Village of Rockland that is delinquent for the tax years of 2006, 2007, and 2008, including special assessments of $124,603.89 that were paid by the county to the village on or before August 20th, 2008. Additional special assessments for this residential development in the Village of Rockland will be placed on the tax roll each year for the next 8 years. The City of La Crosse property taxpayers have until July 31, 2009 to make their last property tax payment, but as of July 23, 2009, there is a total of $86,151.24 that is unpaid on special assessments, special charges, and delinquent charges in the City of La Crosse. I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson, seconded by Andrea Richmond. By the way, those numbers that Tara just read under the fiscal notes will all decrease slightly when Mr. O'Malley talks about the information that he has. With more up-to-date figures. Tara Johnson.
And I also think on the I have two copies of the resolution. The resolution that was passed November 14th, 1995, we should be using 95 consistently throughout the resolution. I think we had 94 in one place down in the now therefore be it resolved clause.
Okay. The one that I signed after executive committee was the updated one, but thank you for pointing
that
correction. Let's start with Mr. O'Malley.
Good evening. A number you will have to bear with me on this because you've heard it either just recently in exec or have talked to me about this individually. I think the resolution describes the situation pretty clearly, as well as on As I've had a number of contacts with board members and other municipal officials over the last couple of days, I put together what is on your desk, and I again apologize for this, but I want to walk through the basic talking points that will describe this. I also want to point out that there are probably three criticisms that folks have raised, and not everyone, many of the local officials that I've talked to, when they've understood the situation, are in agreement and understand why the county is doing this. But bear with me, there's a number of pieces of information I want to share with you. The three main issues I want to talk about, in addition to the content that hopefully you've read, is timing, the notification of officials on this, as well as an issue of fairness. The timing is that historically, La Crosse County has not had a difficult issue with paying delinquent special assessments at the same time that we end up paying all taxes that have been paid in the second settlement of the year in August 20th. This year it's a little different situation because, as you know, from the information we received from Charlie Handy a few weeks ago, we've got a particular community that has a difficult development that they've invested a great deal in, but it's not developing as fast. That's in Rockland, and the largest dollar amount that's involved, of course, is $107,000. As the resolution identifies, if we don't act on this resolution, we only have one chance to act on it, which is this evening. We cannot make the change for the August 20th settlement. So the fact is that had we known that we were making special assessment payments for a failed development, we might not have done this last year, and we would have recommended earlier. So the timing is that we only can do this by August 20th, and we believe that there is a minimal impact on the rest of the jurisdictions, notwithstanding a letter that each of you received. I did talk to Teresa Schnitzler about this. The fact is that none of the municipalities will be out a great deal, and they will end up receiving the interest on those delinquent amounts. So first of all is the timing. We believe that this is as quick as we could have brought this to you. Within 24 hours of notifying Mr. Doyle of the situation that we researched and looked into, we had a first meeting with the highest elected officials of the City of Onalaska, the Village of West Salem, and the Village of Holman. Within 48 hours, we had contacted the folks in La Crosse and several of the other municipalities, as well as within 72 business hours, had a meeting with the Village of Rockland directly and talked with them about this. And before we go any further, the Village of Rockland is working with their financial institution on making some payment arrangements so that they are going to get some additional time here as they're dealing with this issue. Brian Fukuda and myself, Charlie Handy, Tammy Gamroth, who represents this area, was at that meeting and talked with them about long-term what other options they have. And so we are working with them. We're not just walking away from them. But the main question is whether or not the County of La Crosse should have other taxpayers make a payment for a development that's not going as fast as anyone had hoped. And by the way, our heart goes out to the Village of Rockland because the current Village Board, none of those board members were there for the decision that had actually instituted the infrastructure, the roads and sewer and water utility for that. None of the other special assessments that we've been able to determine in all the rest of the jurisdictions are anything like this. They're generally a gentleman that has not paid his water or sewer bill, or a property owner that has not paid all of his or her property taxes and has a special assessment for lawn mowing. The majority of the special assessments that we've been able to determine are generally related to utility funds and not to general funds. So let me just walk through the timing of the talking points and just give you a basic idea. Number one, the settlement of taxes must be completed by the close of business on or before August 20th, and since at least 1995, we've always included that payment. Roughly half of the Wisconsin counties do not do that. The state only permits the county to make the decision on delinquent special assessments and charges due to all municipalities. We can't just pick or choose that a municipality with a large dollar amount or a small dollar amount. We either pay all specials or none on delinquents. Remember that this doesn't mean we won't be paying special assessments. When someone pays them, the municipality is getting those right away. And as referenced in the document, we attached a special assessment list that at the time that resolution went out was about $290,000. those dollar amounts have been going down gradually since then. So let me just use as an example, Village of West Salem went down from $10,630 to $4,776 as outstanding special assessments. I just completed this 5 minutes before the meeting, so I didn't have a chance to make a copy. City of Onalaska went from $17,997 on the list you have down to $8,535. City of La Crosse has only gone down by $3,000, but they still have more time on the way they receive payments. Town of Campbell went from $11,006 down to $6,000, etc. Each one of these have been paying down because, again, it's individual property owners. It's not a full lot or a full development like the Village of Rockland. They had one that paid off but wasn't in that development, went from $107,000 down to $106,000. So in essence, we only have the option to make this decision this evening if you adopt our recommendation and the resolution, and we can only do it for all delinquent specials. We can't do it for any specials that are already paid. We can't do it for tax delinquent properties. We still pay that by law, and we continue to be the collection agency. So number two, the resolution does not change the settlement of special assessments and charges that have been received by the county. We continue to pay those as quickly as we can and when they're paid. If this resolution is adopted, the county would continue to pay all taxes, including those that are delinquent as required by law, but the county would not pay for those specials and charges that are unpaid by the property owner. In most years, this practice has made a great deal of sense to La Crosse County and other counties that adopt the practice because we're in the position to do the collection and we receive a 1% interest for all delinquent special assessments as well as a 6% penalty, which certainly is a good way of making up for the cost of the Treasurer's Department and the other county staff that end up getting involved in the collection. This change will not transfer the collection of those dollar amounts to any of the municipalities. Something that the letter from Teresa Schnitzler at West Salem said was that she believed that this would transfer the collection to the villages and municipalities. It does not. We continue to do that. The only difference is we don't get the interest, the 1% per month. The village or municipality will receive that. And as I mentioned to Teresa when I had a chance to talk to her for about a half an hour on Friday, was this is like a receivable that will now gain 1% interest per month while the county will still retain the 6% penalty. So, for example, just from the time that I talked with Teresa on Friday, the dollar amount in West Salem was $10,630. As of today, according to the most recent information from the treasurer, it's down to $4,776. So if by next Thursday when we make the settlement, if that's still the total amount of special assessments, most of those, by the way, we believe are utility funds, the Village of West Salem utility funds will be making 12% on that receivable. So it's still in their best interest, and this does not, I believe, harm villages or towns or cities. It just makes sure that the county taxpayers aren't responsible for paying the $106,000 now that's outstanding in Rockland for a village decision that we were not a part of. Finally, then, as in number five, as the list attached to the resolution indicates, it was $290,000. It is now down to a total of $236,000, and it allows us to protect the county taxpayers from putting more into an investment that, in hindsight, probably wasn't as prudent as it could have been. And it also, I just want to reiterate that we understand that a village of Rockland is in a unique position. They've already worked with their banking institution to get some additional time on restructuring that debt. We will continue to work with them to try to provide other solutions and other options on trying to deal with that development so that long-term they can deal with what the restructuring is. But it is our recommendation as your legal, administrative, and financial staff that it is not in the best interest of La Crosse County to invest more money. We already have $124,000 because of last year's specials, to not invest an additional amount of money other than staff time in this development. And that we believe this is in the best interest and still respectful of each one of the villages and municipalities in La Crosse County. I'm disappointed that I didn't talk to Teresa before she sent out that letter. I haven't talked to her since Friday, but I believe that once I talked to her, she understood more the background. And, of course, the dollar amount that we're talking has been reduced that's due to her area over half. And maybe even by next Thursday will be an even smaller amount. But based on all the information and talking that we've had with multiple municipal officials over the last week and a half, I still believe this is in the best interest of the county, county taxpayers, and each of the individual villages and municipalities within our jurisdiction. It is a difficult situation. Rockland is not the only one in the nation that has had this situation, that had hoped for development to happen faster than has happened. We will work with Rockland and do the best we can to help them, but it's a difficult situation. The economy is down in many places, and by extending infrastructure before you have enough development, it makes it a difficult time to make those payments. And I guess I'll take any questions or any other thing, Mr. Chair, if I've missed that you wanted me to touch on.
Questions or comments? Jeff Schrader.
Say nothing happens with this development. At what point does the county take possession of this development? I assume it'll happen down the road, but how
let me have Bill Shepard answer how that process works.
It's 2 years after tax certificate is issued. We would normally start this process this fall with the decision on taking the property in probably early next year. So it's not a decision on taking the property that you have to make tonight. That would be sometime next year. Now, they could pay 2006 taxes. There wasn't a special assessment in 2006 and delay this whole process another year. But there's been no indication that they'll do that. The property was sold to the developers on land contract. The primary owner is a retired attorney. I don't believe he lives in the area right now, although he has some relatives here. So that's about what we know at this point regarding that.
By the way, given that this is a 60-lot development that only has one lot that is sold so far, the county may not want to rush into owning that. So it will be a decision of this board, not an administrative decision, as to whether we take that by foreclosure. We'll have a lot of discussion before we make that step. Mr. Bina.
Well, that's what I was wondering. If there are 60 lots and one lot is sold, we're getting taxes off of that and the assessment off of that, probably. I thought maybe that the special assessment were the taxes that should have been generated if those lots were sold, but it isn't the taxes on those then. Is the developer paying that fee?
Will reimburse the municipalities for the property taxes. This resolution relates only to the special assessments.
Just the special assessments.
Just the special assessments, not the property taxes. We still will pay those.
All right.
Other questions or comments? Marilyn Pedretti.
Two questions. The first, is this then effectively change how we do specials in the future, or you revisit this next year?
It will be my recommendation that we revisit this each year. If we're able to resolve the ownership issue and some other alternative development and not have these outstanding specials, I obviously will ask for Donna's input and our finance director's input. But it's still my opinion that other than this particular development, it is a good situation for the county to handle it as we have previously, because, again, we're the best position to do the collection. We make the interest on the collection. It's easier to reconcile. That would be a separate decision by this body and would have to be a separate vote next year.
I guess that's my follow-up then. You know, with Donna Hansen and that group and IT, is it worth the amount of work that this is going to take with the interest you're going to lose?
It's not just the interest that you're going to lose. It's that there are 8 years left of special assessments that even along with the decision of whether or not to take the property, along with the decision about what an alternative development is, there are still 8 years left of this original special assessment. So at some point that has to be addressed. And rather than continue to put more money towards that, it is my recommendation that it's not in our best interest to do that, at least with what we have in front of us right now.
Dennis Monti.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of points. When I went to that meeting called for the highest government officials, I went home not knowing what I was listening to. So I went to see Teresa, and I finally understood what we were talking about. So, sorry, it takes me longer to understand this stuff than most other people. But having said that, I find it a little bit interesting that these special assessments were paid $124,000 a year ago, and he had the opportunity from August of 08 till budget time of 08, pushing November, not to make that recommendation at that point in time. I think we missed an opportunity as a county board to make this effective at the first of this year. It makes it difficult on villages such as us, where we're on a cash basis, we're not on the accrual basis. I can't write checks on the accrual. And so we did not budget for this type of thing. If this would come about the 1st of January, we certainly would support it.
Again, my apologies, but we've never had a situation like this and had no system in place to really bring it to our attention, because historically we have very few properties that go fully delinquent and have a large expenditure there. However, with all due respect, $4,000 to the utility fund that has 12% return based on interest, I don't think is putting the Village of West Salem's utility fund in a difficult position with the amount of revenue that's in the utility fund. Again, the special assessments are not a liability of the general fund, which is an issue of cash flow and those types of things. It's a utility fund issue primarily, and will have a higher rate of return than the investments of your reserves. Like I said, the total dollar amount is relatively small, even on a large utility fund like the Village of West Salem.
Leon Paff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just following up on Mr. Manti's question there. Was it considered by Steve and Steve and the group there that you do this effective for next year instead of right now, to put the towns and the villages in such a position? Then they would have been prepared for that. And another thing is, if you're going to collect the way you're talking, that they're going to be making money at that, which I doubt, why are we so afraid to pay it this year and then make it known to them for their own books and things, so that they can have things in order in another year instead of doing it right now when it's after the fact?
Certainly that's a legitimate concern, and ultimately you're the policymakers that have to make that decision. It's my recommendation, my interpretation, that putting an additional $107,000 towards a development that's unlikely to develop very rapidly after we've already put $124,000 of county taxpayer money into that just based on our previous practice, I would be remiss to not bring this recommendation to you as quickly as I could. I also, in making that determination and recommendation, I honestly have reviewed all of the information on all these other specials, and with all due respect to the criticism that's there, I have a hard time seeing, other than the Village of Rockland, any other community that is significantly negatively impacted based on the dollar amounts that are in front of you, because they are gaining 12% interest. As I've said to a number of people, if you know of any other place to invest the reserves that you have, and each of these municipalities have reserves, their utility funds have reserve, and get 12% interest, I would not give that up if I had any other choice. The fact is that for La Crosse County to make an additional $107,000 investment in a development that we, in hindsight, would not have made the same way, just is not prudent, and I have to bring you that recommendation. Let me use as an example one that you've been integrally involved in, the Village of West Salem has been as well, is the business park in West Salem. We have made a very conscious decision together, the county, as the landowner, and the village, to not extend utilities any further than we had development to be able to support. So if we do not have more development, the county and the village are out no more additional money. It's a prudent decision to invest infrastructure as you go along. Unfortunately, the previous village board in Rockland did not make that decision.
Thank you. And just to follow up on that, but we do have to also remember that maybe the village board over there did make some mistakes in what they were figuring, but they are still part of La Crosse County, and they will continue to be part of La Crosse County. So it's going to be hard for me to just single them out because of a blunder that they supposedly that happened. So that's just my personal opinion. I mean.
Ralph Geary.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bill, I got a question for you. You said the owner of the property is an attorney or something that they bought on a land contract.
Right.
Will that property revert to the attorney?
Well, not if we take it.
No, no, but if we don't take it, will it revert back to the attorney?
He'd have to foreclose on the land contract, and we understand the developer that supposedly he sold to is in bankruptcy or, you know, is near bankruptcy if he hasn't filed. We don't know for sure if he has or hasn't, but we know that he's not paying any taxes on this development. I assume he's not paying any of the land contract payments.
Right. My question
the title is a mess. I mean, there's no question right. The title's a mess right now, and the only way I think that it's going to be cleared up in any time soon is if the county eventually takes it. But that's going to, as Mr. Doyle pointed out, that's going to be a big decision, and the village of Rockland would have to be a part of that decision. And, you know, in the past, we've transferred properties to the city, or, you know, the city of La Crosse, for instance, and we, you know, they've paid us back for some special assessments and taxes that we've had on properties and then developed the property themselves. But as Mr. O'Malley's indicated, this development is going to be very, very difficult to develop.
Right. That ain't exactly my question. It's,
I'm sorry.
If
okay.
the attorney ends up owning it, then does he owe for the assessments? Or if the attorney
yes.
has means and is wealthy, let's say, do we go after the attorney or does Rockland go after the attorney then? Or how does that work?
No, we take the property. That's our recourse is to take the property okay. and sell it.
Well, do you mean the person that sold it doesn't ever have to take it back? They can just let it go default?
Right. That's correct. That's
and if we take it, then do we, you know, they always say we'll go after the one with the deepest pockets. That's why we're always getting sued instead of the...
That's us.
No, we wouldn't. The owner would lose, obviously, all equity that they've put into the property, but we wouldn't...
They'd own their lose their claim to the land, then. They'd lose
correct.
The land.
We would take title to the land, subject to the repayment of the special assessments. But there is a procedure in the statutes. If the proceeds from the sale are not sufficient to pay off the special assessments, then each municipality that has paid would get a pro rata share. So there is a procedure if the sale amount is less than the specials.
Dennis didn't get a full answer to his one question about why did this just come to light now, and so I want Steve to follow up on that because I think that's an important
yeah.
issue.
I tried to address that, but let me make sure you understand the magnitude of this. The current list of special assessments are over 5,869 parcels. Generally, we've never had a situation like this. This is 62 parcels out of almost 6,000 parcels. The earliest I knew that this could even be a possible issue to deal with was the night that Charlie Handy presented the vacant lot study to you. Following learning of this lot development, these 60 lots in Rockland, I said, okay, well, where are they at with that development? How, you know, what's the status? And then, so the week after I got back from my Habitat bike ride is when I learned this issue about special assessments and ongoing payments. We didn't know about it till basically 5 days before we called that meeting, and which was 24 hours after I notified you. So this isn't something we've kept to ourselves and said, oh, gee, let's wait till the last minute to make a decision on. This, again, is such an unusual circumstance. At any given time, and currently the latest number is almost 6,000 separate lots in La Crosse County have some level of special assessment, and it sounds worse than it is just because someone hasn't paid their water bill exactly on time, they owe a little penalty. They'll pay it. Most of these don't go delinquent on the whole property. A village or town puts it against the property to make sure they pay, and then they pay the interest and penalty. But this is as recent as this month is how it's come to light that we know it's an entire development. It's not your neighbor or three blocks from your house. This is one single development.
Bridget Flood.
Thank you. I appreciate that this may not put undue hardship on most communities, but surely it will to Rockland. And I'm wondering, do you have an estimate of how difficult this will be for Rockland? And do you have hope that helping Rockland discover other funding sources will help them ameliorate the problems?
Well, in meeting with them, I've tried to make sure I don't sugarcoat this. This is not an easy decision. But the first thing that happened is that, of course, the village clerk and the village president went to talk to the financial institution that actually has the debt. So that's the first thing they were able to do, was to restructure and get some time to deal with this. The second piece then is to work with them and their board, as well as the institution. And once we have a clear idea of title, to look at what options are there. So I hope we can come up with some ideas. Charlie and Brian and I have talked about a number of different ideas. I won't go into a lot of dead ends at this point, but we're going to work on everything we possibly can. But the first thing is that the financial institution needed to make a decision with them on how to restructure that. That's what we were told at the meeting that Tammy attended, along with myself and Brian and Gary, and that's the first step. The second is to deal with a clear title, and we've talked to the representative of the landowner, talked to the village, because until we resolve those two things, again, to get some breathing room on the payment, number one, and they were able to do that because they knew the recommendation that would come to this body, and secondly, to deal with the issue of clear title, and then I believe, in fact, we're meeting with them again in a couple more weeks. Charlie and Brian and I are going to continue to work with them and try to find a solution. And we'll keep this board informed as well as we work on that.
Ray Ebert.
Yeah, I would appreciate if Supervisor Gamroth would give her take on this. I would appreciate that because that's certainly your district.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As he said, we went to the meeting. They were very, very understanding. I was very pleased. Steve, you did a very good job of trying. I hope that if we make this decision, that we do the best we can to help them, because they're in a very difficult position. And I'm trying to understand the 8 years. Is that how it would be spread out across the board for them, that $107,000? I don't understand this.
We haven't gotten the debt documents and the things that we've requested yet, but that's my understanding of the structure of the special assessment. It was issued as a 10-year assessment against the property. So last year was the first year of payment, this year is the second year, so there are 8 years remaining. But until we know how they restructured the debt with the financial institution and what other options, that was as it's originally set right now, is 10 years.
But for clarification, the $107,000 was 1 year's payment.
Right.
The total is $1 million, not $107,000.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
I thought they were very understanding, and I thought they really did appreciate everything that Steve had to say. And I think they're very interested in working on this very hard.
Good. Is that it for you, Mr. Ebert?
Oh, well, thank you. It's always important for me to hear from whose district. I guess, so if we turn this down for this year, we would have $200,000 in it, plus the actual property taxes also. And do you have that amount?
Well, Bill's looking at that. I just wanted to share with you what Brian just shared with me from the Village of Rockland. The bank is still willing to work with them, but the first step that they did was to restructure the loan to 4.5% and 15 years instead of the original 10 years. So they believe that's enough to give them some room, and left out the potential that they might do some other restructuring. So again, the bank hasn't walked away from them. The county hasn't walked away from them. The difference is that we're not making the payment for them. There's a difference under this recommendation. And Bill's got the number on taxes.
If you recall, we're talking about the 2008 taxes. So we start with the 2006 taxes of $3,790. There were no special assessments in 2006. In 2007, the real estate taxes were $3,883, and then the special assessments that Mr. O'Malley has talked about, $124,603. This year, or the year that that the treasurer will be settling on August 20th, 2009, for 2008, those taxes are $6,984. So that amount will be paid. The specials, as you've heard, a little over $107,236 at the time. Initially, when we got the information from the treasurer, but with some payment, there's been a slight reduction. So the taxes have been going up from about $3,800 to a little over $6,900 for 2008.
And that's on the entire subdivision, the 59 lots that are remaining, correct?
Yes.
That's not per lot. That's
a total, the total for this subdivision.
So yes. If we paid this year's, we'd have about $250,000. Is that a good guess between last year's special, this year's special, or the special that's coming up, and the taxes? And over 59 lots, so that's $4,000 or a little bit better than that per lot we would have into it. That if we foreclose, I can't imagine we wouldn't get that out of them. So I guess I just think the timing is bad, and I'm going to vote against it for this year, under the guise that we would be able to, you know, and do this again for the following year. I can understand it completely, but I don't think we'd have that much money in per lot that we wouldn't get it out at an auction.
You have to remember, I think, as I understand the study that Charlie Handy did, in the height of when they made this decision, they had two building permits per year taken out in 2005. The average since then has been one building permit per year. And as somebody did the math, that sounds like a 60-year time period to sell all of these lots.
No, I understand that, but also if you're giving land away very reasonable for what it is, I think it'll, and I would guess $4,000 for an improved lot is not too bad of a price.
It doesn't take care of all of the special assessments on it. With the interest, as Mr. Doyle's pointed out, this rolls up to about $1 million.
But to clarify, Mr. Ebert, yes, you're right. That would be how much money we'd have to get. Someone else has to figure out a way to get the balance of $1 million. That's the larger issue. So, yes, the county would be out a total of 124 last year, 107 this year. And so your math works if you think you can get 4,000 per lot. But then what happens to the rest of the special assessment debt? That's a back on Rockland. No, because it's gone after we take we take property. It's the village that's on the responsibility for making the payment if the developer isn't paying it. You're expecting to get 4,000 and then someone else is going to pay. That's the same situation that they're not able to sell right now. People buying those lots would pay the special assessment. If you had a market demand, they'd be selling right now.
Joe Veenstra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm a little curious about the process of how we discovered like this sort of glob of bad special assessments. Is there any system whereby we can have a tickle or something on our tax special tax assessments that says, you know, one owner has 50 lots or maybe more than 10, and we could say we got to get on that now as opposed to just sort of waiting for the bad to happen? And
exactly. Certainly we've had that discussion since we've discovered this situation, but we had no way that this kind of thing has ever come up before. We're going to revisit everything from how we look at this to how we monitor delinquents. In the 23-plus budgets that I've done in the 30-plus years that I've been in the public sector, I've usually monitored on a gross basis the total amount of delinquencies. And frankly, if you look at our comprehensive annual financial report, the total amount of tax delinquencies and the rate of having to rely on that, you can monitor that at the back. There's a schedule. It's one of the statistical charts. It hasn't been a big issue. We don't have a lot of properties in general going to tax forfeiture, with a couple of minor, of smaller exceptions that happened before I got here, like Park Plaza, 4th and Jackson, a couple of smaller properties, but nothing on this scale. Of course, we've never had a situation like this in our current economy where you have developments that have infrastructure put on that municipalities have gotten ahead of themselves on what they can support. And again, I want to emphasize, Rockland isn't the only one in the nation in this situation. To the best of our knowledge, this is the only one in our county from everything we've been able to look at. But people during the last 3-4 years thought development was king, and you know, if you build it, they'll come. That hasn't been the case in every regard.
I had one follow-up on the, when we had the $124,000 payment that was made, was there any knowledge at that point that something was awry, or you just, you know, you do it because that's the way we always did it, and...
Not that came to my attention. Again, what I've been monitoring as your administrator is the total gross amount of delinquencies. We haven't seen a huge change. We talk about it when we talk about the treasurer's cash and monitoring of fund balances. And again, because of the payment of the interest and penalty, it's always been a good return for us, which we monitor. There would have been nothing that would have triggered this.
One last question. The letter from Ms. Schnitzler indicates that they're going to have all, a bunch of seeming administrative and legal expenses, and my understanding from what you said is that she's been clarified on that, and there's zero cost administratively to them.
That's right. We continue to be the collection agency. I talked with her about that. I believe she understood what I said. We continue to do the collection. We continue to pay everything as people pay them, just as the number will go down from the 10,000 that's on your list down to 4,000 and probably more so by next Thursday when the settlement is made.
Okay, thank you.
Brad Conkle.
I was just wondering, I noticed that La Crosse, the city of La Crosse, also has a high dollar figure in there, and the village of Holman. How is this resolution going to affect those two areas?
Well, let me start with the village of Holman. That number has gone from 29,000 to 13,000 just in the last week. The city of La Crosse, again, most of those are water and sewer utility, and while the dollar amount seems like a large amount, remember that the entire Rockland is a large amount because their entire village is valued at about $24 million. 83,000 is in relation to a total tax base of about $3 billion. I mean, the dollar amounts are much different, as well as we confirmed with their finance director, the vast majority of these are assessments of delinquent water and sewer expenses that's in that water and sewer utility. This is not a general fund expense to the city of La Crosse. I can't say every single parcel, but that's the lion's share of it.
Yeah. Jerry Sobranek.
Thank you. My question is for the administrator. You mentioned before on infrastructure that you wouldn't pursue anything that you weren't currently pursuing. I guess I'm interested in knowing how much money has been spent on infrastructure so far and how many entities are involved. Do you have any figures for those, if any?
You're talking about at the example I was using at the business park in West Salem?
No, I'm talking about the Rockland, the Rockland development there. How much money has been spent on? Is it all county money or?
No, it's been their own incurred debt. We've got the two debt amounts, which is a total of $737,000, which is the primary for the infrastructure. Then they had a balance of that almost gets it to $1 million of clean water action bonds. So there's a separate set of debt that was paid also with the special assessments that are bonds through the state for clean water, which is part of the utility improvements for water and sewer.
And how many other entities are involved in this other than La Crosse County? And the $700,000, that's just county money?
No.
Or is that total?
This is, if I misspoke, this is debt that the village of Rockland has incurred, pledged against the full faith and credit of their budget and their taxing ability as a lien against these 60 parcels. So they've borrowed the money to pay for the contractor to install the water, sewer, and site improvements, and then it's a lien against each one of those 60 lots, so that when somebody buys that lot, they're to pay the developer and the special assessment. Using the $1 million example on 59 lots, that would be about $17,000 per lot, without any payment for interest, any payment to the developer, any payment for profit, or the actual land.
So the $4,000 lot is worth $17,000 now.
Right, to pay off the entire debt that's been incurred.
All right, thank you.
The only county money in there as of this point, Jerry, is the $124,000 we put in last year for the delinquency.
Right.
All right, Jill Billings.
I think what's worrisome to me in this, one of the things, is that it took a presentation by Charlie for this to sort of all come together for you, and you may not have known about this, but I would think that someone in the county last August, when we paid the $124,000 special assessment for Rockland, I would assume somebody would go, and so what happened there? What happened there? My concern is, you know, this is on the past. We can't do anything about that. But for the future, I want to make sure that person gets a little tap on the shoulder, and you let them know. You have to let you know or us know about it.
Obviously, I agree. But the fact is that this resolution takes care of that issue. We're going to continue to monitor it. But again, in 30 years of my experience in the public sector, I've never seen a situation like this on my watch working for a city or a county. It's that unusual.
And I do understand that, but my concern is for the future, if more of this type of thing happens.
Well,
you know, we will be revisiting it every year.
Well, there's twofold. One is you'll be revisiting this every year. This also, and one of the concerns that I have is it's not just a matter of the village making a decision. A financial institution made a decision. A developer made a decision. People aren't investing or borrowing money this easily to, you've heard of the subprime loan situation. You've heard of the value of homes. You've heard of all the issues that are happening. This is during a period of time that we, today, it's hard for us to believe, but just 4 years ago, it was easy to convince everybody that development was king. It's not something that would have been on our horizon were it not for. We're sitting here about 18 months after one of the worst recessions this country's ever seen.
Let me turn Jill's question around. Instead of asking, as she did, who missed it this time, let me ask, who will catch it next time? Not if it's in Rockland, if it's in town of Onalaska where I live, or Holman where Chuck lives, or La Crosse where a lot of these people live, who will be the one that says, as Jill said, this is out of the ordinary?
The buck stops with the administrator, period.
But you don't look at all those numbers. I mean, those numbers wouldn't all go through.
But the fact is that I'm going to be looking at these delinquency numbers much different, expecting different reports. The buck stops with me, and the fact is by adopting this resolution, it can't happen again. On special assessments, I can guarantee that. The buck has to stop with me. I admit that.
Margaret Wood.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to, you know, reflecting on Supervisor Manthe, Supervisor Paff, and Attorney Shepard, and then this piece of paper that has 2008 special assessments. The bill that the townships, et cetera, and villages are going to pay are going to be these listed or something less. Is that the amount of money we're expecting them to come up with? And no. And then looking at these numbers compared to the funds that are in this utility thing that can earn 12%, do we know that there's enough in those funds to cover that amount that they, I mean, what's the relationship between the amount they owe and the amount that's in that specified fund that can earn the 12%? Are we really dealing with the hardship, or is the money really there?
Gary, I'll answer that.
Let's look at the special assessment list that's attached to the resolution, and I'm going to use a very easy example. The top one is the town of Bangor for $10. Okay. Some resident who owns land in the town of Bangor owes the town of Bangor $10. It could be for a delinquent water bill. Okay. In the past, again, at this time of the year, we would have paid that $10 to the town of Bangor, and we would then collect it. Okay. What's different this time around is, instead of us setting up an accounts receivable, instead of the county setting up accounts receivable for the $10, the town of Bangor sets that up for $10. So the town resident will still pay us, we'll still be the collecting agency, but when we get it from the resident, we will then turn it over to the town of Bangor. How much of a hardship is that on municipalities? I'm not sure, because I don't know what dollar amounts are in each of the utility funds. I don't have that information. They send reports directly to the state. We don't have knowledge of that. But clearly, again, $10 to the town of Bangor should not be any hardship at all.
Yeah, but let's look at the $11,600 for Campbell. I mean, is that okay within?
Yeah. Well, yeah. As Steve mentioned,
that's gone down.
It's gone down. It is now $6,000. I guess I can't tell you how much of a hardship that is, because I don't know how much they have in reserves in their utility fund. Okay. But again, keep in mind that they will eventually get their money. I would hope. You know, it's just that they're not going to get it next week. They set it up as a receivable. When we collect it, we will pay it over to them.
Okay. Maybe I could ask Supervisor Manthe if he knows in his what you have available to pay that.
Well, they don't have to pay it. I mean, there's nothing that the village, none of these villages have to pay these dollar amounts. These are monies that residents owe the villages. So they don't have, you know, it's not like they have to pay it. They set it up as receivable on their books.
Well, now I am totally confused, because I thought it was going to put a difficult, as Mr. Paff said, it was going to be difficult for them to deal with it on their budget.
Well, okay, let me see if I can try to simplify or speak generally about that. In the past, yes, the town of Campbell would have gotten that $6,000 that the residents owe. They would have gotten that from us next week, okay, or 2 weeks from now. If they were counting on getting that, I mean, again, it's $6,000 even, I think, is a relatively small amount for the town of Campbell, but I don't know what their budget is. But, you know, the counties, or counties, municipalities clearly have operating cash just like La Crosse County does. I mean, we have several million dollars of operating cash. You have to have that, because the state doesn't reimburse us for expenses until sometimes 6 months later. So clearly, if they have sufficient operating cash, it's not any burden on the municipality. If for some reason they don't have the proper operating cash, I guess it might be a little bit difficult. But again, I think these are really, really small percentages of each municipality, with the exception of Rockland, of course.
Is the budget issue something, money that they plan on coming in to balance their budget, as opposed to money going out?
What
is the impact on the budget of these smaller communities?
Well, let me use this as an example. The $6,000 in Campbell is less than 1% of the entire special assessments that they receive in 1 year. This is on the margin. And they will get 12% on that. Now, we don't have every budget of every municipality in front of us, but I just used the example he just used. I can go to City of La Crosse, that entire, well, $20,000, which is the portion for special assessments, the rest is other charges, is out of a total special assessment of $280,000 in the year. Village of West Salem, the total $4,000 is a portion of the total original amount of $90,000 in the entire year. These are smaller dollar amounts of, they're getting the vast majority of everything that they've billed, and those that, it's like a receivable in a business. Somebody hasn't paid all of the bills that you've got coming in, but they're being charged a large interest to pay, and as they pay, they're paying that. So it's like having a receivable that's earning interest.
Could I ask Supervisor Pedretti if she knows what the impact would be for her?
Sure. The Town of Holland levy is $340,000, but our special assessments that would be in this list, I think except for one property, is special assessment for refuse and recycling. And our budget is $160,000 a year. And again, it's we pay that per month, so we have $160,000 in the budget. We've probably paid $110,000 towards that already, so we still have 4 months left of our budget to pay.
So do you think this resolution negatively impacts you?
No. It just carries the money a little longer, that's all. We normally get it settled in August. It's going to take a little longer to get it. Plus, we're going to get interest. I see it as a win.
Thank you. That helps me on my decision-making.
Chair Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of quick questions. The $107,000 special assessment for the now 59 lot development in Rockland, for that payment or that expense or that lien, I mean, whatever term we're using, Gary, can you tell me who will either pay that or incur that as a liability if this resolution passes and if it doesn't pass? I mean, what's the effect going to be on that $107,000 expense? I don't know what term you want to use, but...
Okay.
Is it still with the bank? Is it still with the village?
Yes, right. Yes, with the bank and the village.
So what's the effect of this resolution on the paying of that $107,000?
Well, again, the Village of Rockland borrowed money from a local bank, okay? And the village has a liability to the bank for the $107,000. And again, I haven't seen their debt schedule with the bank.
It sounds like they've renegotiated it, though. So they've spread it out now over 15 years at a lower interest rate.
Right.
But it doesn't... I guess I just want to make clear, I'm asking this so that others hear the answer as well. It doesn't change that the Village of Rockland still owns that liability.
Yes, they do.
They are responsible for that liability, regardless of what we decide tonight.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. I want to clarify that. Thank you. The second thing I want to ask is, does anyone know, and I guess I'm going to pick on Supervisor Pedretti again, or Supervisor Manti, but are there other municipalities in La Crosse County that have paid for development in this same way, who have upfront paid for those improvements?
Well, according to, I think it was Charlie Handy or Brian, this was the first time ever, right, that we know of?
This particular situation is fairly unvisible.
Yeah, Brian, could you come up?
To my knowledge, this particular situation is very uncommon. Municipalities generally don't borrow money and put in infrastructure when they don't have development agreements signed. Typically, the City of La Crosse does that, but typically when they have a development agreement signed in a TIF district or something like that. So the total situation isn't completely out of the ordinary, but without any sort of a development agreement signed or any sort of a guarantee that they're going to get that, have some source of revenue to pay that, it's pretty uncommon. I've never heard of it before. But.
Thank you. So from where I sit as a supervisor who represents the town of Shelby or portions of the town of Shelby, I don't like this situation. I don't think this is going to be, you know, the vote that I remember most fondly. As a county board supervisor, I think it is a really unfortunate situation that we are in, and I don't like having to cast this vote. But I will be voting for this resolution because I believe that we have already made one mistake. And I think it's for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is going to be improved when the new process goes into place and we check those 5,900 entries on the special assessment list more closely. But I feel like as a representative of residents of the town of Shelby, they've already paid a portion of a $124,000 mistake that we made. And that if we vote tonight no, we are spreading that, we are making another bad decision, in my opinion, because we have already asked all taxpayers in the county of La Crosse to correct the first year of a 10-year potential million-dollar liability that they had absolutely no input into. And I don't think that that's fair. And I understand that this is coming on August 10th, and we wish it was coming back in November. I think Supervisor Manti, an hour ago, made a very good point about that. And it is unfortunate that we are having to deal with it now. But that is the situation that we are in. It is the 10th of August, and we have to make a decision so that the treasurer can do something before August 20th. That's just the reality of the situation we're in. And I think to vote no exacerbates an already bad situation, and it spreads blame and puts a burden on taxpayers in the county who don't deserve to have that added to them. And that's why I will be voting yes in support of this resolution.
Audrey Cotter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The first question I have is a more general one related to the process we're using here. If we don't pay these bills, the municipalities or villages, whatever, they absorb these, then who has the right to repossess them for lack of payment in the end then?
Yeah, it's still the county. We have under the statutes the right to basically foreclose. We use an in rem foreclosure process, and as a matter of fact, soon the treasurer and my deputy Dave Lang will be reporting back to the executive committee for the process that's going on. But it still is the county.
Would Rockland so have the ability to do it?
No.
Okay. It just occurred to me listening to the debate then, because if we repossess it, but they have borne the expense of lack of payment, it could get messy down the road.
Actually, one clarification, Bill. Do we know Rockland's agreement with that developer? Could they have a lien or a mortgage or anything that we don't know about that would give them the right to do a private foreclosure as opposed to an in-rem?
We haven't gotten the documents. We've asked for a whole list of documents of their minutes and all kinds of records. Anything that exists with regard to this development, we have not received any of those documents.
So there could be that possibility?
There could be. I think it's probably unlikely. Just let me mention one further step, that under the statutes there is a process. If we do take this property, that the municipality that has the special assessments can file within a certain time period a notice of intent to take the property from us, as long as they pay our costs and that we've already
okay.
expended. So they Rockland could reimburse us, and that's kind of the informal process that we've used, for instance, with the City of La Crosse on certain mm-hmm. Properties. They haven't given us a formal notice, but we have sold several properties to them for the amount that we've invested in them. Some of the properties that have been raised by the City of La Crosse would be an example of that.
It was just when the thought crossed my mind, I thought, well, we may as well know up front what kind of implications that would have in the event of continuing problem. And which brings me to my second point then, as I think I heard you say that you're looking to do this just for 1 year, but then return to the prior process in the future, because that to me
Let me respond to that, Audrey. As county board chair, I would like us to vote on this every year. I'd like this mm-hmm. to be a year-by-year decision and never a blanket yes or never a blanket no in the future. I would like the board to vote on this every year.
Because the only thing is then for the people on the other side of the coin, they are at our behest how we choose to handle it here as county board. So they should better be budgeting for not receiving it.
Well, let me also follow up by saying that wouldn't in the future be on August 10th that we take this vote.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's really all. I know it looks like the city, it's going to hurt the city taxpayers a lot, but it is mostly utility funds. And even though they're still taxpayers' money, but they do have bigger reserves to be able to handle it. Thank you.
Tammy Gamroth.
Thank you, Chair. Steve, did we ever find out who they got their legal advice from or what happened in that situation?
That's part of the list of documents we've asked for, and we haven't received those items yet.
My other question is, all of the other lots that are vacant in the county, is this an issue in any other developments, or could it be?
To the best of our knowledge, it is not with any municipality putting in specials and putting in through their full faith and credit. To the best of our knowledge, we haven't come across any that are similar.
Okay. Thank you.
John Menninger.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, you said you'd like the county board to vote every year on this. I'd like us to vote this year on this because I'd like to call the question.
Any objection to calling the question? Everybody that I have on the list has spoken once. There's a couple people that want to speak a second time, but everybody for the first go-round has. That's why I waited till now to call on John. All right. Let's do this on the computer. If you are in favor of the resolution, which is to not pay the special assessments this year, vote yes. If you are opposed and want to pay the special assessments this year, vote no. If you are in favor of the resolution, vote yes. While people are doing that, there's an item that I wanted to mention in the chair's report that I forgot, and I'll mention it now. As you probably saw in the paper, one of our colleagues, Brad Paff, has resigned from the county board because of the position he got with the federal government. So we are, as the chair, will be appointing a replacement for Brad. We have three people who have applied for that position so far, and I'd like to do interviews next Tuesday at 3 p.m. If anybody is interested in participating in that, I would invite you to attend. That's next Tuesday at 3 p.m. In room 3220. We'll be doing interviews. How are we doing there, Linda? All right. The resolution passes on a vote of 24-5 with one abstention. And that gets us to the next item on the agenda, which is the County Administrator Report, starting with Justice Sanctions.
Okay, just a brief announcement and one reminder that I neglected to put here. If you have an opportunity to attend, this is just putting it on your calendar for Thursday, October 8th. Thursday, October 8th, our Justice Sanctions Department and judges and law enforcement will be doing the first ever recognition event for businesses and successful graduates of our Justice Sanctions Department. We're going to do the first ever Shine the Light on Success program where it will be at the La Crosse Center. We've been working with the La Crosse Center to be able to make arrangements. We're going to have music will be provided by the Rex, which I understand is led off by Judge Levine, who's one of the
even more important than that.
And Joe Veenstra. I'm going through the list here. It starts at 6 o'clock. The dinner will be 6:30 to 7:30. Awards presentation 7:30 to 8. And just if you put it on your calendar, there will be more information. There will be tickets available, but I wanted to let you know enough in advance. It's an effort by those of us that work with Justice Sanctions to recognize that quite often we only hear about people breaking the law or unsuccessfully making it through the process. This is an effort to make sure we recognize people that are successfully turning their lives around due to the work of Justice Sanctions. So October 8th, it's a Thursday. Mark it in your calendar, and we'll give you more information as future meetings come up.
And I understand included with that is a picture with Joe Veenstra and an autograph.
Yeah. Dinner will be served by the judges and law enforcement and other folks, including myself. So it should be a good time had by all. A lot of good work going into that. The other item that if you didn't notice, I just wanted to remind you, next Friday, following the county board meeting, on Friday is the collaboration conference. If you haven't registered yet for that, please contact Brian Fukuda. We'll start out and talk about really some challenging trends that are happening within our property tax system, school enrollment, a lot of things about vacant lots and those kinds of things challenging our long-term economic viability as a county and as a region. So if you have a chance to make that, we've had good pre-registration already. It will be the 6th or 7th annual collaboration conference under Mr. Doyle's direction. So it will be very good information if you have a chance. It will only be in the morning. It will be at the Lunda Center over here. I think we're one of the first events at the new Lunda Center over at Western Technical College, and it'll be a lot of good information.
That's next Friday, the day after County Board. Jeff Schrader. Sure.
So work with Margaret and in the County Board Chair and Brian Fukuda in my department to get registered. And the last item I have is a one-pager. We've talked about this before. These are the top budget issues. This isn't every budget issue or question that you might have, but these are identified by department, the major budget issues that will affect our ability to set a budget for this year. We're heavy in meetings right now with departments finalizing budget recommendations, and I won't say how hard it has been so far because I've told other people that, and people say you say that every year. This year is really tough. I reviewed some of these items, and I'll just kind of go through it and look for any input or direction or things that people want to make sure that we address. They are grouped by your governing committees. Obviously, the executive committee will be dealing with the entire budget and its recommendations to the full county board. We'll be reviewing options and issues with employee compensation and benefits, everything from health insurance to Wisconsin retirement changes. But I just want to remind you that, of course, we have all labor contracts settled for 2010. We do not have any labor settlements for 2011. So we know what our parameters are within most employee compensation and benefits, and we'll talk with you about the changes that are happening in health insurance and Wisconsin retirement. I'm pleased to announce that the first ever Leave Without Pay program has had good success. Over 190 employees have voluntarily agreed within their departments and their divisions to donate back 1 to 3 days of compensation. We'll save about $90,000 yet this year in calendar year 2009, and that's about roughly a third of the eligible employees that don't work 24/7 shifts that would have to be backed up by overtime. So I think it's very positive that employees have recognized, even not knowing all the details about the budget, that they're willing to work with us on trying to help with this issue. I will ask that the county board consider extending this program again for 2010. But again, this was only for the sign up for the current year. So we'll end up revisiting that as one of our options for helping deal with some of the budget issues. Obviously, you'll be dealing with what the overall tax levy impact is and how we close out the law enforcement center construction project and making debt payments. So we've got we know what those are, and we'll end up dealing with what debt reserves and other items that we can do to help moderate the debt payment over a number of years. We'll look at other revenue changes and state budget cuts and recommended fees and charges like we do each year with an entire catalog that you'll receive. And, of course, capital improvements will be an ongoing issue as we're dealing with not incurring additional debt for capital improvements. It will be an ongoing challenge. This year, we've had fewer new personnel requests than in other years, and they may be even fewer by the time they make it into my recommendation to you. But departments understand that these are very troubling and difficult times. And, of course, as always, as we spend a great deal of time this evening, is on the use of reserves and fund balance and how we actually moderate our cash flow. So those are the big general issues, and then I'll start to walk through individual committees. But are there general issues that board members wanted us to address? Again, this isn't your only time to do that, but you'll end up seeing decisions that you'll need to make and recommendations that you'll have to act on all of these items that I just identified.
Jeff Schrader.
Will you be discussing a deferred maintenance on this building?
Certainly, we'll be talking about the capital improvements that that we'll be doing. You'll also end up getting recommendations back from the first stages of the project that you've already authorized, as well as the next stages to deal with that in the garage.
Dan Mina.
I'd be curious. The leave without pay, is that our savings or the savings go back to the state? Because I understand the state wants a list of everything that we save by having people take off time.
These are tax levy estimated savings through the end of the year for La Crosse County's tax levy.
Okay.
This doesn't consider the complicated issues of state employees and furlough days that they're still trying to resolve, like UW Extension and other issues that it's not yet clear what that impact is. These are county employees and county levy
savings. And they will have an answer on that, because during the convention here, there was at least a half-hour discussion about how they would handle partly state, partly county employees, and they're working out some agreement on that, which should be done pretty quick.
That's right.
Anybody else? Any issues you want to make sure we talk about or Steve looks into? Okay.
Okay, again, with your indulgence, I want to walk through and highlight some of the other issues throughout the rest of the committees. Whether you are on these committees or not, we will be talking about these at each of the governing committees, but they are some of the most substantial issues you'll deal with in the 2010-2011 budget. As I shared with the Public Works and Infrastructure Committee at their meeting earlier this afternoon, highways capital improvement projects will continue to be a major challenge. As I've mentioned several times, we have not yet begun to deal with the over $20 million worth of unmet road needs within the community, but that's almost a sidelight because we've never budgeted for that. The other larger issue, of course, is that we do roughly $2 million worth of road improvements in the year, and within the last three calendar years, the way we were able to accomplish that, just to remind you, was 3 years ago we used short-term debt for a six-month note, and we paid that all off for approximately $1 million in 1 year. The second year, 2008, we utilized Supervisor Spiker's recommendation, which was to utilize $1,003,000 of excess sales tax and pay for that with cash for the balance of the $2 million approximately in road projects. This calendar year, we're using $1 million from the old landfill, which is the landfill fund, which is all general fund tax dollars. So we've reduced that but are still doing approximately $2 million worth of work. And next year, we would recommend, just as we shared with you last year, an additional million for that. So that allows you to do $2 million worth of work approximately over the last four budget years, including next year. In 2011, you do not have another funding source for continuing to do work. Again, the developers and the developments that are causing increased impacts on our road system beyond previous years are not generating additional money to pay for that. The other options that counties have looked at are additional use of debt, the vehicle tax, trying to work with towns or villages or municipalities on special assessments, or not doing projects. And at the rate that deterioration is happening to the road system, not considering the $20 million of unmet road needs that the second road study indicated, we have ongoing challenges. But the good news is that we'll be able to get through one more year before we have to confront that. But I think it would be remiss if we didn't start talking about funding options and issues as we go forward, because, again, this is an ongoing challenge for being able to do the road projects. And if you're interested and not on the committee and want to look at your 2009 budget book, lists the projects that are there, those that are unfunded. And, of course, we will end up revisiting that in detail with the Public Works and Infrastructure Committee and the full county board. So that's one of the largest challenges for our highway infrastructure. The second item under Public Works and Infrastructure is obviously in solid waste. It includes capital improvements ongoing, but we've completed most of the construction at the landfill site. We'll be wrapping those up with the shop and those kinds of things. But we also will need to revisit the issue of the new state tipping fees and also the impact on the clean sweep program. So we are working with the Solid Waste Policy Board representing the service area over the next couple of weeks. There will be an annual meeting of the service area also talking about this, but as a body, we will need to talk about how to help moderate the impact of the state-imposed tipping fees on our service area and how to help people avoid having to pay those fees, since the majority of our waste, of course, is not devoted to landfilling. It's a waste-to-energy system. And finally, while there will be capital improvements that we'll talk about, and I appreciate Supervisor Schrader's reminder on the deferred maintenance and those kinds of issues, we are basically doubling the law enforcement center, which means that we will have to add increased maintenance and custodial staff to deal with the law enforcement center as it's being completed. So there are a number of items there that the facilities department has requested that we address. So that will also be an item that we'll address with both the department and the Public Works and Infrastructure Committee. Moving on to Health and Human Services, Human Services management staff, and of course we've begun discussing this with the Health and Human Services Board, but there will be significant impacts on their budget and on the structure of their department because of the state budget cuts. You obviously know that there's a great deal of talk in the community about the Mental Health Crisis Center and options to deal with that and those kinds of costs. We also have a full year of the Women's Community-Based Program that we'll be dealing with in budget, as well as justice sanctions revenues. And one of the reasons I want to just highlight that, of course, in an economic downturn, one of the difficulties is collecting revenues from people that are less than easily employed. Obviously, people that have criminal histories are the most difficult to find work for and are the most challenged in trying to turn their lives around. So they are less likely to have funding than they would have had 2 or 3 years ago. So this is an ongoing problem will be an ongoing issue with justice sanctions revenues. And, of course, each year we talk about preventative services and the difficulty in budgeting for those along with all of the other things. Ongoing health issues will continue to be what is the demand for home health services and our ongoing subsidy of that area. And so while there will be other issues in health and human services, as you can see, the plate is full for a lot of issues within that area. I'll move on to aging and long-term care. Obviously, we'll continue to debate the viability of Hillview and the need for an expected recommendation into 2010 regarding assisted living. We'll continue to visit that issue in 2010. And ongoing issues with Lakeview. We spent a bit of time with our Aging and Long-Term Care Committee this morning, and we'll be talking with the Mississippi Valley Health Services Organization Commission next week. But we have ongoing major building and capital needs. Strategic plan and partners, you'll end up seeing a resolution that will come to this body next Thursday, talking about setting out some strategic goals because we have ongoing issues with our relationship with care management organizations and their ability to compensate for the services that are provided at Lakeview. We have ongoing issues of regulation with the Department of Health Services and their unique ways of looking at how they reimburse the county for IGT, the certified public expenditure, as well as some concerns about the use of IGT and being able to balance out our budget. So there are going to be ongoing significant challenges with Lakeview, and you'll hear more about that as we walk through the committee and ongoing process. You'll also see that in aging on the positive end, there is the use of some stimulus funding for expanding some of the services in aging. I'll take a breath and go on to judiciary and law. You'll continue to wrestle with the adequacy of and improving the quality of jail medical services in the jail. We'll continue to look for ways of expanding mental health hours and making recommendations there, as well as the new law enforcement center because of the way that intake and jail visitation will happen, and we've talked about that before. That we will need to have an additional clerk receptionist on that first floor. We've known that, and we'll have to budget for that partially in 2010, mostly in 2011, but with the probation parole lease, there will be some benefits that will end up benefiting our bottom line to help provide for some of those costs, both with this and maintenance. Obviously, clerk of courts, there will continue to be an ongoing issue with court-appointed attorney costs. And, of course, in child support, you'll end up seeing the beginning use of some stimulus funding that will end up reinstating some of the cuts from the previous federal administration. You will actually see a resolution in this county board cycle that will start to deal with some of those. But that means we also have to revisit the ongoing issue of staffing within child support and the adequacy of funding in that area. Finally and lastly, will be ongoing issues because of the slowing pace of development, and I shouldn't have used the word pace, but the slowing volume of development that will impact each one of our land use departments, but the increasing demand for our regulation related to water, sewer, stormwater, and those kinds of things, and of course the open questions about vacant lots that we've spent a great deal of time on and the need to pay closer attention to that, as well as a recommendation to look at a purchase of agricultural conservation easements or the PACE program. We will have to continue to look at our role in planning resources and development and how we fund those and what's happening from that revenue stream and what should be the county's role in that area. And you'll be needing to give us some policy direction on our role in each one of those areas. So as you can see, our plate is full with a lot of issues that have significant budget impacts, and we'll be walking you through recommendations and these issues as we go along.
Questions for Steve or comments? Mr. Ebert.
Is it possible in the budget thing to get somehow asterisk or something, those things that are mandated by the state versus other?
To do it line item would not be cost effective. To highlight those items that are mandated, we can easily do that as we go through. Some of it's in the interpretation of what level of service you provide, and that's been an ongoing debate. When we've identified the issues that are not mandated, those are generally the ones that have been fought about to reinstate within the budget. So let me just use as an example in highway. What level of quality of roads are we required to provide? that's a judgment call on your part. Are we required to do this particular road project this year? No. But if the deterioration of the roads or the staffing level doesn't allow us to maintain plowing at a certain level, we can't keep up with that. So it's a very complicated question. We'll try to do the best we can to walk through. We've identified non-mandated programs like home health, like extension to a certain extent, road maintenance, but the board hasn't shown a lot of interest in doing that. My goal is always to provide you a budget that lives within maintaining of existing services and within the parameters that we've been given. A 3% levy cap, very difficult challenges on being able to moderate other fees and charges, but trying to maintain services, because the last item I'd comment is that in addition to mandates, this is the period of time that people expect more services. Unlike the private sector, where customers go down during the business cycle, we actually have an increased demand for services in a downturn.
Anybody else? Other comments or questions? Mr. Spiker?
Just one short question. Has your equalized evaluations come out from the state yet? Now, don't they have to be to us by August 15th? But we haven't heard from them.
I haven't seen them.
Okay.
No, but during the budget process, we will report on that and update the analysis that we've done previously.
Last year was 1.9 or 1.8?
1.29%.
Because I've been reading in the Milwaukee papers and that I don't know how they got the information ahead of us, but it's been not a good picture there. And that figures in for your tax levy.
It figures in for your tax rate, not for your tax levy.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments? All right. Is that it for you, Steve? Okay. That gets us to future agenda items. Anybody have any or announcements? Okay. Just a reminder, if you have not yet signed up for the picnic and you're interested in being a participant in that next week, please talk to Jerry, Arlene, Linda, or myself after this meeting. Otherwise, I guess we are to Jerry Sobranek.
Move to adjourn.
Move to adjourn by Jerry Sobranek, second by Brad Conkle. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no. Carried unanimously.